Good evening. The Secretary General will update you on the meeting that's just ended, and then we'll be here to take your questions. Secretary General.
Good evening. We have just finished a very productive meeting of NATO defense ministers, the first in our new headquarters. We have decided further steps to strengthen our shared security and boost defense and deterrence against threats from any direction. We are adapting the NATO command structure, the military backbone of our alliance. Today, ministers agreed to strengthen the new command structure by more than 1,200 personnel. We also agreed that our new Joint Force Command for the Atlantic will be based at Norfolk, Virginia, in the United States, and that the new enabling command will be based in Ulm in Germany. To ensure we have the right forces in the right place at the right time. These headquarters will be essential for alliance reinforcements across the Atlantic and across Europe. And I thank the United States and Germany for their leadership in hosting these commands. Ministers also agreed a NATO readiness initiative, the so-called 430s. This is not about new forces, but about increasing the readiness of forces our nations already have. Today, allies committed by 2020 to having 30 mechanized battalions, 30 air squadrons, and 30 combat vessels ready to use within 30 days or less. This shows our determination to instill a culture of readiness across the alliance. We also addressed burden sharing, which underpins everything that we do. Allies are making real progress on all aspects of burden sharing, cash, capabilities, and contributions. When it comes to cash, today I can announce the first estimated figures for 2018. As you can see from the chart, we now have 4 consecutive years of real increase in defense spending. All allies have stopped the cuts. All allies are increasing defense spending. More allies are spending 2% of GDP on defense. And the majority of allies now have plans to do so by 2024. Across European allies and Canada, we expect a real increase this year of 3.8%. This means that since 2014, European allies and Canada will have spent additionally $87 billion on defense. When it comes to capabilities, allies have committed to investing 20% of their defense spending on major equipment. This year, 15 allies are expected to meet the guideline, and I count on more to do so in the coming years. Allies have also stepped up their contributions to NATO missions and operations. But of course, we still have more work to do. Burden sharing will be a key theme of our summit next month, and I expect all allies to continue their efforts. Ministers also addressed the progress we are making in cyber defense, following the cyber pledge made at the Warsaw Summit in 2016, allies have enhanced their cyber capabilities. We have also decided to set up a cyber operations center as part of the new command structure. And having agreed the principles last year, we have now agreed a framework for the integration of sovereign cyber effects into alliance operations and missions. This supports NATO's overall deterrence and defense, because all crises today have a cyber dimension. And we must be as effective in cyberspace as we are on land, at sea, and in the air. The decisions we have taken today pave the way for a successful summit in July, with more investment, more equitable burden sharing, and a strengthened defense posture. We are adapting NATO for the future. And with that, I'm ready to take your questions.
And please introduce yourselves and your outlet. Let's start in the first row, please.
Good evening, Lavotti, Edian Kronos, Italy. Just two questions, if I may. The first one is on Italy and Russia, because President Vladimir Putin said he was glad that something is moving in the EU on sanctions. I wonder if you have any comment about this. And the second one is, may you please make a point on Italy's commitments on defense spending? I mean, are they on the right track, and do you expect the new government to make good on the promises taken? Thanks.
Italy is a valued and important ally, and Italy is contributing to our shared security in many different ways. I welcome that Italy has started to increase defense spending, but I also welcome the fact that Italy is contributing to NATO missions and operations in many different ways. Italy is one of the countries with the largest contributions to our missions and operations. For instance, in Afghanistan, where Italy is one of the lead nations, but also to our maritime operations in Kosovo and elsewhere, we see Italy contributing with professional, committed personnel, which we really appreciate. And I would also like to highlight the fact that Italy is hosting, it's a host nation for different NATO facilities like the Joint Force Command in Naples and also the Sigonella base and other NATO facilities. Then on the sanctions, I would say that NATO is not aiming at isolating Russia. Actually, we strive for a better relationship with Russia. And the whole alliance stands behind what we call a dual-track approach to Russia, which is about deterrence defense, but also about a dialogue, because Russia is our neighbor, Russia is there to stay, and we need to try to improve our relationship with Russia. At the same time, I believe that the sanctions are important, because they send a clear message to Russia that when they violate international rules, when they violate the sovereignty and the territorial integrity of a neighbor, as they have done in Ukraine, then it has consequences. And that's the reason why the international community has responded with sanctions, and I support that. The sanctions are not, decided by NATO, but NATO allies have welcomed and supported the sanctions, because it has to have a cost, it has to have a consequence when international rules are violated. Then I look forward to meet the Italian Prime Minister on Monday, and also the Foreign Minister and Defence Minister, so I look forward to go to Italy and to have a meeting with the new government, and I congratulate the Prime Minister with his appointment.
BBC, please. Yeah.
Yes, Secretary General, thank you very much. Jonathan Marcus from the BBC. Two questions. Quick point on the spending. The last bar in the chart you put up had obviously gone down. There was a trend upwards and the last bar had gone downwards. Is that just a blip for that particular year, or are you worried that the trend in increased spending, thank you, the trend in increased spending is tailing off? And then the second question, there's an awful lot of emphasis on mobility and reinforcement and so on. Of course, an alternative approach is to actually have forward basing. Would you make some comment on the document that came out of the Polish Defence Ministry, their desire apparently to have a US division forward based in Poland? Is that something that has been discussed within NATO circles today?
Spending in 2018 is going up. It's green, and it's plus almost 4%. So we continue to increase, and the increase in 2018 comes on top of the increase we had in 15, 16, and 17. So I think if so, this is about continued increase on top of the increase we have already seen. And this is in stark contrast to what we saw before NATO made the defense investment pledge. Because then actually the spending was going down, now it's going up. Also in 2018, and it's a substantial increase in real terms. Second, this is the first estimate. And in the previous years, we have seen that the figures have improved throughout the year. So, of course, we don't know for certain, but if we follow the same pattern as we, for instance, saw last year, then the increase will be even stronger at the end of the year. So I underlined the importance of that we continue to do more to strengthen or to increase the increase further. But this is plus, this is more, this is increase on top of the increase we have already seen. There was no discussion about any Polish proposal, but what we have seen is that NATO has increased its presence in the eastern part of the alliance, including in Poland, over the last years. For the first time in NATO's history, we have a combat troops, or we have battle groups in the Baltic region and in Poland. We have a US-led battle group in Poland. And of course, we have also other kinds of presence in Poland with different commands, including in Szczecin. And we have we are now actually in the process of building the missile defense site in Poland. So there is NATO presence in Poland in different ways. What we see is that the US is increasing their presence in Europe, and that's part of NATO's collective defense. We have seen a 40% increase in U.S. funding just under the Trump, also in the period that Trump has been president, for what they call the European Deterrence Initiative, with more troops, more exercises, more pre-positioned equipment. So there is an increase of U.S. presence and an increase of NATO presence in the eastern part of the alliance, and I welcome that because that shows that the transatlantic bond, the North America, the presence of North America in Europe is not going down, it's actually going up.
Okay, we'll go to Reuters in the last row, please. Yeah.
Thanks, Wanda. Robin Emmett from Reuters. You talked about wanting to have a successful summit. Do you feel that these numbers that you've presented and based on your trip to Washington will be enough to mollify President Trump, given his strong focus on the 2%? Thank you.
So President Trump has welcomed these figures because he has really recognized that this is progress, that this is more money for defense across Europe and in Canada. And he has spoken about that money is pouring in with reference to these figures, showing that defense spending has started to increase. And we speak about that we really turned a corner, because until recently, defense spending was going down. Now we have 4 years of increase. All allies have stopped the cuts. All allies have started to increase. More allies will spend 2% of GDP on defense this year, and the majority have put forward plans. I'm not saying that this is enough, but we didn't promise to be at 2% within a year. We promised to stop the cuts, gradually increase, and then move towards spending 2% of GDP within a decade. And we have started. This is a good start. We need to do more. We need to have further increases. But this is a good start where we see that European allies are stepping up, and I welcome that.
Okay, we'll go to the lady in the second row.
Good evening, Olena Abramovich, Ukrainian Media Inter. I have a little follow-up on Italy, whether a newly appointed minister raised today a question about lifting sanctions. And the main question is about Ukraine, whether you have any understanding in which format the meeting Ukraine-NATO can take place in the framework of the summit in July. Thank you.
President Poroshenko will be invited to the NATO summit. We haven't yet decided the exact formats and the exact types of meeting, but he will be invited, not least because we also have we have decided already that we have a meeting of the rescue support partners. So it remains to be seen exactly what kind of formats formats we will have at the summit, but President Poroshenko is invited. I think that it is for the new Italian minister to say what she said during the meeting. It's not for me to, in a way, refer to specific interventions. I welcomed Minister Trenta because this was her first meeting in the NATO ministerial. But I can say that there was no discussion about sanctions in the meeting.
We'll go to the gentleman over there. Thank you.
Thank you and good evening. Belarus Security Bloc, I'm Andrei Porotnikov. I have a question about Eastern Flank. It's very sensitive theme for my country. So the question is, have NATO any plans to send new additional troops or forces to Poland and Baltic states? Thank you.
We have already increased our presence in the eastern part of the alliance. Our focus now is on our ability to reinforce if needed. So that's the reason why we have tripled the size of the NATO response force, and also the reason why we today agreed on this readiness initiative. But then we speak about forces which are in their home countries. The NATO response force is based on, you know, contributions from different allies, but the forces are in their home countries, but then they can move quickly if needed. So the focus of NATO now is on how can we reinforce any part of the alliance if needed, in the east or the south or the west or the north or whatever it's needed, with NATO response force, but also with the forces which we now are going to identify as part of the readiness initiative. Also, the changes we are making in the command structure is very much about reinforcements. Both the Atlantic Command and the Support Command in Germany is about our ability to move forces. So that's the focus of NATO now, the ability to reinforce if needed.
Entebbe in the third row. Nope, just behind. Oh, over there. Gentleman with a beard.
Nope. Really don't have anything
to ask. Very good. Okay. Gentleman over there. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Secretary General. This is Mehmet Solmaz from Turkey's Daily Sabah. My question is regarding a recent court decision from Greece. Previously, four of eight Turkish soldiers who were participated in the attempted failed coup in 2016 were released. And in the previous few days, we have seen that the remaining four have also been released, making all the soldiers who fled the country with a military helicopter to Greece. We're all released now. Do you have a message to, especially to Greece, and do you think these kind of steps undermine security cooperation between the two NATO allies, Turkey and Greece? Thank you.
So we are aware of the challenges, and I have discussed this both with President Erdogan in Ankara, but also this is something I discussed with the Greek government and representatives from the Greek government to the different ministers. I think that my main message today is the importance of showing restraint and calm, because it is important to try to solve these issues, and therefore restraint and calm is my most important message today.
Agence France-Presse. Yeah. Hi, Rob.
Oui, bonjour. certains ministres de la Défense, avant de venir à cette réunion, ont fait part de leur colère ou de leur désappointement d'être considérés, alors qu'ils sont comme des alliés, d'être considérés comme des problèmes pour la sécurité nationale des États-Unis. Alors je voudrais savoir, puisque nous n'avons pas pu entrer dans cette réunion, si le sujet a été abordé, notamment par le ministre canadien, qui a dit qu'il entendait le soulever, quelle a été la réponse, est-ce que cela a pesé sur la réunion ou pas du tout? Merci.
Many ministers highlighted the importance of NATO unity and that we have to stay united, especially when we see that Russia and tries to divide us. And therefore, unity within the alliance is our most important message as we prepare for the upcoming summit next month, and that was stressed and underlined by several ministers or many ministers in the meeting today. At the same time, we all recognize that there are differences, disagreements between NATO allies on issues like trade, the Iran deal, or climate change. But we have seen before that despite these kind of differences, NATO has always been able to unite around our core task, and that is to protect each other. And that's also what we see now. There are differences, but NATO stands united. And not only do we see a NATO which is united, but we see actually a NATO which is able to strengthen our cooperation and transatlantic bond. Because despite the differences we see between NATO allies, we see on issues like trade, we see a NATO which is delivering on strengthening our collective defense, the biggest reinforcement of our collective defense since the end of the Cold War, stepping up our efforts to fight terrorism, and where we see that European NATO allies are investing more in defense, Canada is investing more, and then we see that the United States is increasing their presence in Europe. So I admit, or I recognize that there are differences on issues like trade, but at the same time I see a NATO which is delivering on strengthening the transatlantic bond and strengthening our collective defense.
Thank you very much. This concludes this press conference. We'll see you tomorrow. Thank you.
Thank you.